rest of you, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We'll be looking at the title of our message today is Shoe Leather Christianity. Shoe Leather Christianity. And we'll start the application side of Paul's great book, God inspired through the writing of Paul. And so if you would, let's stand to our feet, the reverence of God, the reading of God's Word. Romans chapter 12, we'll be looking at 1 and 2 this morning. The Word of God says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may reprove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's pray. Father, for a few moments, in Jesus' name I pray, be glorified through the preaching of your word. May your word go forth. And God, we know it won't return void, so touch hearts. God, hide me behind the cross for your glory in Christ's name. And all God's people said, you may be seated. Shoe leather Christianity, that's a catchy title. We always know that when we say, hey, put some shoe leather to it, what's it talking about? Get to work, right? Put it to use. Put the shoe leather to it. And this section begins, we've covered 1 through 11 of Romans, and it's really his great theology and doctrine that Paul has shown us, and we'll talk more about that and how that we, you know, here's the deal. What good is theology or doctrine without practice? He's getting to that point, okay, this is what we believe, and this is what we do with it. This is how we use it. He's calling us to a call of commitment. I want to do that this morning, challenge you. This is a call to commitment to everybody that's here in the sound of my voice. It's a call to commitment to each and every one of us this morning here at South Fork Baptist Church. And so really, commitment is the benchmark of spiritual life. When we're committed unto the Lord. And so we have to ask ourselves, just how committed are we? And so I really believe that these are some of the most powerful verses in all the Scripture on challenging us to be committed to the things of God. And so it's where our text meets right where we are. So it's very practical, and I love that. For those of you who know me, I like to be a practical preacher that takes the Word of God and makes it where you can understand it and use it and put it to use in our lives. And so I want us to look at this morning at four elements of this call to commitment. Four elements of this calling, a call to commitment that God's calling. First is motivation to commitment. Look at Romans 12a, 1a. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Our motivation is what? It should be noted that Paul right here, who's he speaking to? I beseech you therefore, brethren, brothers. He's challenging believers. Not non-believers, but he's challenging the church. Believers in Christ. He's not talking to unbelievers here. He's talking to those that have received Christ, that are in the church, that are working together for the glory of God. And he's saying, our motivation is what? The mercies of God. What's our motivation in light of the mercies of God? What are those mercies that he's talking about? Well, he's just been giving us 11 chapters, 1 through 11, right? The mercies, what did he show us for those 11 chapters? He just broke down anything, any prop that you might have been propping on thinking this is what makes me right with God. He knocked them all out from under us. In fact, he said, we're all sinners. We all deserve hell. We all are enemies against God. But yet, God in his infinite mercy has applied grace to us through Christ. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's the mercies of God. He said, in view of these mercies, as he stepped us through chapter after chapter, and as we finished up 11, and he got to that great doxology where he saw where God had taken us, he'd taken Jew and Gentile and made them the body of Christ, made them into that special thing that he had called and set apart. And look at us here today. And he's calling, he said, in view of these things, and he gets in that great doxology and he says, man, pray all the depths and the mercy of God. Oh, the great riches of God in our life. And he said, in view of these things, that what are we to do? It's the foundation. I want us to see God reach down to save us. And that's the foundation of the theology of the first 11 chapters. And it becomes our motivation for practice. It becomes our motivation for what we do, how we live that out every day. How are we to put it all this to use? Our theology always advances our practice, our service. This is our commitment. The greater our understanding of the mercies of God, the greater our potential to commitment. How do we grow in the Lord? How is it that we become more committed? We rehearse these mercies of God. We learn through His Word. We see what God has done for us. And it should motivate us to be more committed to Him. How often? Daily. Daily. As we grow in grace and learn about Jesus, the greater our commitment grows. That means the healthiest thing that we can do as believers is what? Understand the mercies of God. Keep them before us. You say, what are you talking about, Dave? We rehearse in our mind daily. We don't do this. Let's be honest. We don't often do this. We think about it, but we should rehearse daily the things that God has done for us, the things that Christ has done for us. You heard me say every morning we should get up and rehearse the gospel in our mind. We should go over what Christ has done for us and start our day off that way. The mercy that He's shown us. Listen, it'll help you get up in the morning a little bit better, in a little bit better frame of mind. And we think about each morning. You got up this morning because of the grace and the mercy of God. And you're saved. If you're a child of God this morning, then you have that also. Not only do we have this life, but we have the promise of another life. Without sin. Without all the garbage of this world. Is anybody tired of the garbage? I'm tired of the garbage in my whole self. I'm tired of having to fight sin constantly. I'm tired of fallenness. You've heard me talk about that. One day, though, there's going to be a day that I'm delivered from this in a place called heaven to be with God and God's people. You're talking about worship. You're talking about having the right focus when we come before God, when there's no sin, none of these things that's pulling and dragging at us constantly. God in His infinite mercies. We are to rehearse. And Paul says we're to rehearse this over and over. And it should be our motivation to commitment. And it's not a suggestion. He says, I beseech you, I urge you. It really should be that I exhort you. I'm exhorting you to do this. On the basis of God's mercy that you what? You come to your commitment to God every day. Yeah, should you even think that way when you get up in the morning? Notice as you get up, as you get older, we won't talk about that a whole lot, but as you get older, I'd get up singing, spry, jump out of bed, and just jump on the bed. Sandy get so mad. Yoo-hoo! I notice now it's like, what's up with that? Is it gravity? I'm just not as spry as I used to be, but that's okay. I should be just as joyful and just as happy and say, God, really the first thing that ought to touch the floor in the morning is my knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for another day. Thank you, God, for the mercy that you've shown me to see the light of another day and grace. If we begin our day that way, if we rehearse that, you know what to do? And today, help me to be more committed to you. Help me to be committed to the things of God, not the commitment to myself. I'm going to take care of that, whatever it is that I have to do on my schedule. I'm going to take care of that, but to include Him in that He be committed to Him in everything that I do. As I grow, I learn to be more committed, and the more committed I become, the closer that I am to Christ. And it's just this ongoing snowball effect as we live and grow in the Lord and we become more Christ-like. Daily. Yes, that's our motivation, but also I want you to see the character of commitment in 12:1b when it says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Listen, everybody, and you heard me, hammers at Christians to commit themselves to God, but there's little teaching on how. Many of us really don't know. We say, yeah, that's a good idea, but how? What does it look like? Well, I want you to think of two philosophies in life. There's two philosophies. The world says, my life is my own, to live as I please. Now, we like that. Come on. We're Americans. We got inalienable rights. My life's my own. I live it as I please. It's all up to you. Make your choices. We buy into that very easy. That's what the world tells us. What the difference in that philosophy and the Christian teaching is what? My life is God's to do with as He wills. Those two are incompatible if you think about it. If I'm getting up in the morning just to do what I want to do, how in the world am I ever going to do what He wants me to do? In fact, it sounds like I've replaced Him on the throne with myself, does it not? What I want to do. And that's a tough thing to do because we live in a fallen world. We live in fallenness. And when we got to get up in the morning purposing to be committed, the motivation of our commitment, those mercies, but also we have this character of commitment. Two elements of this character. Listen, I want you to see. First is total. What does He say? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is how we do it. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. He's going back. They understood what sacrifices was from the Old Testament. Remember, that priest would come in and he'd offer up that whatever the situation, what he'd offer up, the lamb or the dove, or even he would have a meal offering, a flyer offering, whatever, those kind of things. And so they understood what sacrifice was. They grew up with that. But He's saying to offer what as a sacrifice? You, your body. Most of the things that was given unto the Lord was sacrifice. It died. It was the blood of the sacrifice. But He's saying to you to be a living sacrifice. It means you're getting off on the altar every day. You're getting up and living out what He's called us to be. And that the body is the totality of who you are. And so that body is to what? Be holy, acceptable to God, living in the depth of newness of life. Spiritual life is evident. Is your life evident, your spiritual life, to all those around you? Is it? Is that what people see in you? They see this living sacrifice that's not being given to yourself or to the things of the world, that's been given to God. And when they see that person, they say, wow, that spiritual offering, that body. And He says, we've been purged of our sin. Think about that. We've been forgiven. And God has set us apart, holy. That's what it means, to be set apart. Are you set apart to God? Your life will show that out. What you're set apart to. It's amazing to me how we don't have time to do things, the things of the God, but we have time to do anything that we want to do. If you ever understand, can anybody say amen? Or oh me. We have time to do whatever we want to do. But when it comes to things of the Lord, we just don't have time to do that. Why is that? It's we don't understand that we're totally committed to Him, to present our bodies to Him. And guess what? I said in our new members class, it's the same standard from the pulpit to the pew. Everybody, this is all of us here. This is a child of God. There's not one standard for me. In fact, if you expect me to act a certain way, then why? That's the same standard that you're to live by the way. If I don't decide that I'm not coming to church on Sunday, shouldn't I let somebody know that? Shouldn't I? Boy, I promise you if I didn't show up, they'd be some ill people, wouldn't they? But you could just do whatever. Take the weekend off. Go wherever you want to. Nobody ever knows. Is that a different standard? Is it? Well, I'll pay you. God takes care of me. We're not a professional, okay? It's not professional Christianity. It's everybody's in this together. Totality. It's our bodies unto Him. It's given to Him. Young and old. No divide between the two. It's total, complete commitment. Everyone. It's our character commitment. Not only is it total, but it's logical. What are you talking about? Which is your reasonable service? That word reasonable is where we get the word logical from. It's just logical to commit to Christ. Reasonable service or rational. I love one translation says reasonable worship. And this is where I'm constantly saying that what you do every day, 24/7, 365, is your worship. It's your service. It's your totally giving yourself unto God. And it's reasonable. It's logical. It's illogical for a child of God not to be committed to Him. How does that work? You say, well, I got saved. I'm all right. I'm good. You hear them people say, I'm good, and we're not growing in grace and knowledge. You aren't good, okay? We're challenged to be committed to Him. We're challenged to grow in this and to have this logical understanding. We cannot be a believer and half committed. any worship that is not accompanied by commitment is not worship. Let me say that again. Any worship that is not accompanied by commitment is not worship. Half-hearted is God? Does Christ deserve half-heartedness? Was he half-hearted? No. He calls us to be totally and be logically committed to him. Worship is a commitment. You can't have one without the other. We're to give as much as myself to Jesus as I can. Constantly, continually. I do not reach a plateau and say, you know what? I like right where I am for a while. This is how we are. Let's be honest. I'm walking, I'm growing in the Lord. I reach this plateau, and I like it right here. I don't need to get more committed for a while. I just need to take it easy and rest, right? That's not how it works. In fact, when you're not going forward, you're going backwards. You don't plateau. You don't reach certain areas. But we're all in constantly going forward in Jesus' name and growing in the grace and knowledge of him. Constantly. That's our motivation. Our motivation to commitment. Our character commitment. But then look at the call to commitment. It's 12:2a. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I love this. Paul is just showing us that commitment, how it looks, what it's to look like. And there's a negative and a positive to this call. You can't have one without the other. It's a flip side of one coin. First is the negative. What does he say? Do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world. You say, what are you talking about? Wait a minute, God so loved the world. We talked about this in our study the other night. He's not talking about the created order, these kind of things. He's talking about the cosmos, the evil system, the thing that Satan uses to pull us away from the things of God. He said, don't be conformed. We all know what the world looks like. Is any of you so sanctified that you don't? We're not to be conformed to that. He said, that's the negative. Don't be like, let's be honest. We're all creatures of imitation. Are we not? Look around. We dress the same. We look the same. We like to get the same haircuts. Socioeconomically, we're herd mentality. That's what we do. And we say, oh, we want to be different. And the secular world will push that. But what they want you to be is just like them. That's a lie. Oh, you can wear whatever, paint yourself up the way you want to, but they still want you to look just like them. Have the same agenda. We're creatures of imitation. What is it that we're imitating is the question. Ladies, are you rowing? Uh-huh. So you know what? I get a little giggle. Are you rowing? Oh, those are the best looking tights. They feel so good. Feel this. How soft it is. I don't know how many I've heard. Just feel this. Feel this tight. Oh, that feels so good. We're creatures of imitation. Why is it it'll be like a fad will take off and it'll just go crazy, right? It'll go crazy. Why? We're creatures of imitation. That's what we are. And so he's saying, look, think about everything that we do and how is it that it is. What is it that we're imitating? He said, don't imitate the world. Don't look like the world. I'm not saying these things are wrong, but he says, don't let that be your identity. How you identify yourself? Identify yourself in Christ. He said, don't conform to the world or the age. I try to escape the world, but you know what happens? I'm sucked and influenced by it constantly. I love this because it's a present tense command. We need to constantly be conformed, not to avoid these things. We're constantly on guard not to be conformed like the world, but to be transformed, that we'll see next. Constantly, daily. You can't take a break. We love the breaks, don't we? We like to take a vacation. I'm just going to take a vacation, man. I just need to get away from everything. That doesn't work spiritually, okay? We don't take a vacation from God. I'm just going to take a little time off and just do whatever, drink whatever, play whatever, do what I want to do, and then I'll get back serious again. Does that sound like a trial to God? Sounds like a creature of the world to me. Nothing wrong with taking time to get away and spend time with your family. But we don't take a vacation from God. We don't quit being a child of God. We don't detach from that whatsoever. In fact, if you think about conformity, you're conforming to something. Conformity is oftentimes fashionable, by the way. So it has to do, and listen, I'm not legalistic in any way, but it has to do, and it's going to affect what we watch, what we listen to, what we wear, what we hear. You say, wait a minute now, that sounds like the old legalistic preachers of old. Listen, we're not talking about legalism. We're talking about conformity. What are you putting in? What you put in comes out. It's that simple. So I can't get these thoughts out of my mind. What are you putting in your mind? I'm constantly, I can't quit doing these things. I can't quit gossiping. I struggle with that. What are you listening to? What are you reading? It makes a difference. Conformity. And the world has an agenda. That's what we think that the world don't have an agenda. We can watch TV. We can watch all these things. It doesn't have an agenda. It's just entertainment, amusement, to think not. Is that what we want to do? Just be a bunch of don't think. And the whole time they're pounding in an agenda in on you. We don't even think about it. We just think it's entertainment. They're pounding an agenda into your head. They have a game plan. It's called Satan. It's not us against them. It's us against Satan and the world. And you know what he wants to do to you? Kill, steal, and destroy. Does that sound like the thing that you want to sit there and not think about? Why, he pounds it into your kids, into you, and an agenda constantly. There's an agenda. If we hadn't saw that the last little bit, we're awful dull-headed. There's an agenda. And so he said, don't be conformed to this world. Secularism has an agenda. And that agenda is to make us all the same. We'll use that to be different and all that. And we like that idea, but it's to make everybody the same. Secularism wants you to say and accept everything that everybody else does. That's the negative. But the positive says what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform is the word we get metamorphosis from. Transform. Change form. It's a word used only four times in the New Testament and twice with the Mount Transfiguration. Remember when Jesus was transformed before the disciples. We know what it is as a caterpillar goes into the chrysalis and becomes a butterfly, the metamorphosis, to be transformed. And that's what the word is, be transformed, change form. This spiritual transformation, as here it is, as Christ fills us, we change. We quit looking like the world. We quit doing the things of the world. We start changing and becoming a child of God. It's a transformation that fills our lives. And he says, be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. How do I renew my mind? Again, what am I putting in to my mind? It's how I'm renewing it. There's one way that we know that the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, as I can renew, I can become more Christ-like as I study the Word of God. I can renew my mind through the study and through the Holy Spirit of God, and it can change us. It can make a difference in our life. You want true change? It comes through God's Word and the Spirit of God bringing them together into your life. What a transformation, a metamorphosis that can happen. How many of us have been saved by the marvelous grace of God out of a life of sinfulness and debauchery? God transformed us into the image of His Son, yielding to the work and the influence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It says that word be transformed. It doesn't mean that it's a transformation of yourself. I don't just purpose, but I allow this. It's an outside force that's inward driven, the Holy Spirit of God that God sent upon this earth dwells within the heart of every believer, does it not? And so we allow that Holy Spirit of God to transform us, to work on us, to grow constantly, to be more committed to the things of God. And Christ and the building of His kingdom. So we know that this is a no and a yes. No to the world, yes to the Holy Spirit. You can't have one without the other, by the way. Seems like to me today's church wants to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the thing church. It don't work. There's no fence to straddle. You're one or the other. As God's people, God's calling us to commit ourselves to Him. To make a difference. Why? So that we can be glorified? No, that Christ is glorified in us. That we can build the kingdom of God. Why does the world need anything that we have if we don't look any different than the world does? It doesn't. transformed by the Holy Spirit, then we have this motivation through the mercies of God. We have this character and we have this call. And then look at the outcome. Look at the outcome of this commitment. Outcome of the commitment, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you may know. What are we going to know? The will of God. How many of us here wouldn't know? I'd really like to know the will of God in my life. We ask those questions, and the Scripture tells us right here, this is a way that we can know His will, that we can be on the path. The commitment comes, with this commitment comes this ability to perceive God's will, God's purpose, what's acceptable, to know what we ought to do and do it. Many of us here know what to do. It's the doing it part that we have a hard time with. It's that acceptable, what pleases God. I really believe, I said this the other night at our men's retreat, I believe this is the abundant life that he's talking about. In John 10:10, yes, I have eternal life in Christ, but I also have these avenues. I have this way of growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ and becoming more Christ-like in my walk, making a difference for Christ's sake. Man, that's an abundant life. That's making a difference in this small journey we call life. That only is just a vapor, the Scripture says. Only now that we can make a difference. How long are we going to keep on thinking this is somewhere in the future? I'll do this in the future. I know I'm supposed to be committed to Christ. How long of many of us are sitting here that know that you're lost, that's never received Christ, and say, well, I'll do that a little later when my kids get a little older or I get this straightened out. Guess what? It'll never happen. You don't put stipulations on God. When God speaks to you, you answer Him. And we're obedient to Him. And we're committed to Him. You want a life of purpose? How many of us are searching for peace? Searching for something to be worthwhile? Oh, you might have a great career and you're doing all these things, but there's still that gnawing in your heart like, I'm missing something. Is what the world's going on in my life. That thing that you could be missing is the greatest thing of all, and that's the Holy Spirit of God saying, come to me, all you who are laboring, heaven laden, and I'll give you rest. My burden's light. Come to me. Why do we carry the burden of sin? It's a weight we cannot carry, and it'll push you and crush you down, and you'll find yourself still lacking, no matter how much fun you want to have and try to have. You find yourself lacking. Why? Because there's only one thing that'll fill that void. And that's a relationship with Christ. He's saying, man, be transformed. That you may be proved what's good and acceptable will of God. With commitment comes this ability to perceive what God wants. Don't overlook this challenge. It's the most absurd thing when we're trying to live without this in our life as children of God. It's an absurdity. In fact, to be half-hearted, a half-committed Christian, it's like a slap in the face of the Savior, just to be honest with you. Be half-committed. I dare say there's a room full of people right here that are committed to a lot of things. You say, how do you know what I'm committed? I can look and see what you spend your time on. I can look and see where you get your joy from. That's what you're committed to. Does that mean I have to quit doing that? I'm not saying that unless God tells you to, but I'm saying you need to commit to Christ. Include Him in those things. Quit compartmentalizing our life and saying, oh, I do this and I forget all about God. Then on Sunday morning, I got to go worship. But it's not changing me through the week. That's not Christianity. That's not biblical Christianity. That's something that you've stirred up in a pot and threw it in an oven. Take that off yourself. That's not biblical Christianity. If it's not changing your life daily, if you're living in sin and you can get by with it, guess what? You're lost. Oh, that's judgmental, Dave. That's not my word. That's this. It says if you're a child or a daughter of God and you're living in sin, you will be chastised. And if you're living in sin and you're not convicted by it, you're lost. Lost. Nobody. Listen, I don't want anybody to be lost. I want you to have a fulfilled life in Christ. Why am I so passionate about that? Because you're looking at the biggest lost man in here. At one time, if he can save me, I can share all your stories. You can't throw something out there. Old Dave ain't been down that path with you. But God saved me in His infinite mercy. He gave me purpose in life. He made me a preacher, a redneck preacher. Come on. He's got to have a sense of humor. He can use anybody to do anything, but He's looking for people that are committed to Him. Quit half-hearted being committed to Him. Why? Ticking off. Time is ticking off. This little watch right here just not missed a lick. I can hear it. Time does not stop for anybody. We keep on playing. Before we know it, we've spent our life and wasted it on hobbies, chasing the things of the world, trying to make ourselves happy. And we've missed out on the thing that brings total fulfillment to us, and that's that relationship with Christ and serving Him. Does that mean it's going to be all just joys and everything goes so good? No, that ain't what the Scripture says. It says, in the midst, though, of my storms, I have purpose. I have reality. I have this joy that cannot be taken away. You cannot take my joy away. You can make me pretty miserable, but you can't take my joy. Why? There's something that can't be moved. It's called a relationship with Christ. This is the commitment that He's calling us to. The outcome is that I have this vibrant relationship with God and that I'm walking in His will. How am I going to? I want to know the will for God's life. Then you start living for in His will and purpose today. You'll get where He's taking you, okay? Worry about today. Be committed. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. How is it that I'm going to get where He's wanting me to be in 5 years? I walk every day in obedience. Every day. I don't have to worry about 10 years down the road. Oh, I'm going to miss the will of God. How am I going to miss it when I'm walking in it? Huh? Hello? How am I going to miss it if I'm walking in it? He said, but it comes with commitment, not a half-heartedness. Commitment is the benchmark of the Christian life. Linda, come play and we'll have our applications. First application, how committed to Christ are you? That's just between you and the Lord. How committed to Christ are you? What is it that you're committed to? You know right now. What is it you're committed to? Is it Christ? Number two, do people see Jesus in your life? If you're committed to Christ, people are going to see Christ in your life. If it's inside, it's going to come to the top. You can't help it ooze out of you. It comes to the top. It's going to make its way out. Lastly, are you conforming to the world or allowing God to transform you? What is it? What's the beat? Are you imitating this morning? What does your world look like? Can lost people just hang out with you? Look, people of the world and not know any difference? You just fit right in. Is that, what am I conforming to? Or whenever you're with somebody that's living in sin, or they see your life, not that you're judging them, but that you're living and wanting to please the Lord, and you're drawn to what it is that you have that they desperately need. And yet we'll go by and not even share Christ with people that are wallowing in their sin, desperately needing something of hope in this world of hopelessness. Why? We're worried about what they're going to think about us. Oh, they're going to think I'm one of them people. Praise God, don't you want to be one of them people? Ah! What do you mean? One of the people that represent Christ in a world that needs Him desperately. Let's stand to our feet. What is it God's saying to you? If you're lost today, do not hesitate 1 second. Come down the aisle and say, God, I give my life to Christ. You don't have to come the aisle. You can pray right where you're at. It's not a method or going through a routine that makes you right with God. It's the Holy Spirit of God quickening your life. And you can say right there, Lord, I receive you as my personal Savior. The Spirit has knocked on my heart today through God's Word, and I want to receive you. But you'll lay that known. You'll let me know. But it could be that you just need to walk an aisle and say, you know what? God's calling me to do that. I'm going to give my life to Christ, and I want everybody to know so I can be an example to maybe somebody that's holding on to that pew and saying, not today. How about your life? What is it conforming to? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Let's close our eyes for just a moment. Are you growing in His grace? Do you look more like the world than the things of God? Is there sin in your life? Mark sin, and you know it just as soon as when I say it, that sin comes right to your eye, right to your mind, right to your heart, and you just like, oh, you know what? I'll deal with that later. No, you deal with it now. Deal with it now. What is it God's saying? Come. Just a few moments. Just a few moments. If you need to come to this altar, come. As she's playing, Spirit of God's working. What's He saying to you? Purpose to be obedient. Purpose to be committed to Him. Everybody look here for just a moment. We've got a couple that's wanting to join our family here, Brad and Leslie Lovin, and they've got three wonderful children. And so glad and excited about what God's doing in Brad and Leslie's life. And I'm just so thankful that He's brought them here to be a part of the South Fork Baptist Church family. What is the pleasure of the church? Motion to receive. All those in favor, say aye. Aye. We won't even say like. We're looking forward to seeing what God does with Brad and Leslie, and got three wonderful kids, and just God's adding. You know what? If you're thinking about being a part of this church family, I want you to have a relationship with Christ most of all, but I want you to find a place to be plugged in with the Lord. If it's here, praise God, come here. But help, talk to me. I want to help you find that place. Why? We're about growing the kingdom here, not growing a church, but growing the kingdom is the most important thing. And so we're looking forward to see what God does right here at South Fork Baptist Church. Listen, we're going to get ready to go out. We're going to close in prayer. We'll take Brad and Leslie back and shake hands with them and welcome them in the right hand of fellowship. But also, we're getting ready to go over to Ash Baptist Camp. And it looks like we got time. We can get over and eat real quick. No, Lord will hold the rain off. We'll have some good time. All right, so come out and fellowship. If you're visiting with us, come go with us. You don't have to be a member here to be a part and come and go with us. We'd love to see that. Lee closes in prayer, if you will.